The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments over Obamacare this week, again. 3 years ago, the law's opponents failed to get the statute declared unconstitutional. This time, they seek to unravel it through the wording of the statute itself. Joined now by NPR's legal affairs correspondent, Nina Totenberg. Nina, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Scott.
Help us understand the legal question being set up here.
At issue here is a line in the law that stipulates that subsidies are paid out to qualified individuals when they sign up for insurance coverage through, quote, an exchange established by the state. So does that mean just those 16 states that set up their own exchanges? Or does it also mean exchanges set up by the federal government for the other 34 states that didn't buy in? Mm-hmm. Opponents of the law point to those words, established by the state, and they say they mean subsidies cannot be paid out to people in those 34 states that have opted out.
What's the court lineup look like, near as you can tell?
The votes in play, based on the argument, are those of Chief Justice John Roberts, a conservative who cast the deciding fifth vote to uphold the law as constitutional in 2012, and Justice Anthony Kennedy, often a swing justice in close cases. In 2012, he wrote the dissent, saying that the court should strike down the whole law, and he clearly still detests it.
What could you tell from the argument you heard?
Well, the Chief Justice hardly said anything, and he was playing his cards very close to the vest. Kennedy said a lot, but it was sort of AC/DC, just when you thought he'd tipped his hand grudgingly in favor of the administration's interpretation of the law, he seemed to slip back to the other side. His questions all focused, one way or the other, on the relationship between the federal and state governments. So here's Kennedy's first question, put to the challenger's lawyer.
It does seem to me that there's something very powerful to the point that if your argument is accepted, the states are being told either create your own exchange or we'll send your insurance market into a death spiral.
In short, Kennedy's saying, if we buy your argument, that would create a serious constitutional problem.
And why a constitutional problem?
Because if you read the statute the way the challengers do, it would mean that states that don't create their own exchanges would lose the federal subsidies. Millions of people would lose their insurance because they couldn't afford it. And the individual insurance market in those states would collapse, or as Kennedy put it, go into a death spiral with ever skyrocketing insurance rates. So what Kennedy seemed to be saying was that such a scenario would unconstitutionally coerce unwilling states to create exchanges themselves. Mm-hmm. That prompted Justice Ginsburg to observe that there are familiar patterns to the way Congress creates programs. One pattern is state, here's the federal money, and here are the conditions, take it or leave it. The more flexible pattern is you can have your own version of the program if you want to, but if you don't, the fallback is a federal program. But, said Ginsburg, I've never seen anything such as the challengers are suggesting, where if a state goes for the fallback, it suffers such disastrous consequences.
But I gather Justice Kennedy had another problem.
Yes, his other problem was the regulations put out by the IRS interpreting the words in the statute to mean that all the exchanges qualify for subsidies. Here's what he said.
It seems to me a drastic step for us to say that the Department of Internal Revenue and its director can make this call one way or the other when there are, what, billions of dollars of subsidies involved per year?
If Congress is going to give the IRS that sort of power, he said, the language has to be clear. It is clear, replied Solicitor General Donald Verrilli, pointing to a specific provision delegating that rulemaking power to the IRS, but Kennedy still seemed pretty doubtful to me.
At the end of the day, where do you think we are?
Well, the challengers pretty clearly have three votes, and they need both Kennedy and the Chief Justice to win, whereas those defending the law clearly have four votes, and they need just one more to prevail. But nobody's sure where those critical two votes lie.
At the end of the week, do you have a kind of favorite moment in the arguments?
I think it was when two of the court's conservative justices, Alito and Scalia, poo-pooed the notion that if the challengers win, millions of people would immediately lose their health insurance and the individual insurance market would begin to crater. Mm-hmm. Justice Scalia pointed out that in the past, when the court has issued problematic decisions, Congress has fixed the problem.
Happens all the time. Why is that not going to happen here?
And at that, the government's Verrilli paused, and his eyebrows shot straight up.
Well, this Congress, Your Honor,
point taken. NPR's legal affairs correspondent, Nina Totenberg. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.